California and Massachusetts are set to raise their minimum wages to $10 an hour for the first time in 2016. They're among 14 states with plans to increase that hourly minimum wage by January 1st. Some of those increases were voted on last year's, like Alaska's. The dollar increase in the hourly wage there from $8.75 to $9.75 will impact thousands of workers, mainly in the seafood processing industry. But in some states, like Arkansas, workers who get tips are still exempted from the pay hikes. And other states like New Hampshire still don't have a mandated minimum wage at all, meaning it defaults to the federal minimum of $7.25 an hour. These changes mean different things in different parts of the country, but anywhere, is the minimum wage enough to live on? Amy Glassmeyer is professor of economic geography and regional planning at MIT and founder of the Living Wage Calculator. And she says that actually getting by on minimum wage, even after these increases, is nearly impossible.
You have to live in a location where housing is very inexpensive. If you have children, childcare is very inexpensive. And the basic basket of goods you need to live on is capable of being covered by the minimum wage. It is basically not a living wage.
So that's to say then that the minimum wage, even in states where it's substantially higher than the federal minimum of $7.25, there's no such thing as making the minimum wage and not living in poverty. Is that right?
The thing about the minimum wage is we have to look place by place. The cost of living in the United States varies a lot, state by state, county by county. So there are no doubt places in remote locations where there's not much going on, neither changing or evolving through time, where somebody might be able to live on the minimum wage because they've been there a long time and that's built into their cost of living. But in general, $7.25 an hour is not something you can live on.
All right, well, let's look at a couple of individual states then. There are a dozen states across the country where the minimum wage is going up on January 1st, and some others where it'll increase throughout 2016. Let's look at California first. California is a big, diverse place itself, and San Francisco is a lot more expensive than someplace in the hinterlands. But what do you get for $10 an hour in California?
A person in California that's not living in the heart of most expensive parts of San Francisco or Los Angeles is likely to find $10 an hour is capable of allowing them to rent a room, maybe find a studio apartment and cover their basic costs. But $10 won't cover their basic costs if you look at actual cost of living. So that includes housing, healthcare, childcare, food, clothing, transportation costs. So $10 an hour is certainly a significant minimum wage as a floor, but it's not something that if you actually look at the real costs, that they're covered.
Now, if you go to a place like Nebraska, you have an increase this year from $8 an hour to $9 an hour. Nebraska, I take it, is a place where the overall cost of living is substantially less than a lot of places in California. So $9 in Nebraska gets you what?
$9 in Nebraska is going to get you basically the same basket of goods I described. That is, you'll probably be able to afford a room in a house or a studio apartment, but everything else is variable. And in the case of Nebraska, it's important to remember that the reason that minimum wage is rising is because the cost of living is rising in Nebraska. And it's a part of a set of states that have been impacted by the shale oil boom. And so costs have skyrocketed and rental rates have become unattainable for most people who've been long-term residents.
So in a case like Nebraska or other places where fracking is huge and the economy is booming, that drives up costs. There's a bump in the minimum wage, but the buying power hasn't gone anywhere. In fact, it might have even gone down, even with the increase.
That is correct. And more importantly, that there's such a pressure on the basic elements of a lifestyle like housing that landlords are capable of moving the existing renters out and putting new renters in and charging twice as much.
So there are increases in places like Alaska. Arkansas has a 50-cent increase. Michigan has a small increase. I see a place like South Dakota, another place where shale oil and fracking has a huge boom, a 5-cent increase from $8.50 to $8.55. Does this have any meaningful impact on a person making minimum wage in South Dakota, or is this pure indexing or somebody's political move?
A lot of this is probably local indexing. Some of it might be political moves, but I think actually at state levels, state leadership is beginning to realize that it's really hard for ordinary people to get by. And while they can't make the jump to what the real cost of living is, what they're attempting to signal is that they're willing to acknowledge that the cost of living in their state is going up over time.
Now, let's look at the other side of this, because we're all aware of the countervailing argument, which is raising the minimum wage may be a good thing, but it doesn't happen without an impact on businesses that have to pay those wages. Let's look at, for the sake of argument, Rhode Island, if we can. Minimum wage is going up this week, $9 to $9.60. What about the small business that has their wage costs now going to $9.60 in Rhode Island?
So none of these changes are happening in real time. Nobody made a decision yesterday, and that wage is going up today. So employers have already been putting into their calculus what this change is going to mean. But most employers also recognize that employees that have worked for them for a long time are actually valuable, and the know-how and the tacit knowledge that they have is something that the business benefits from. So companies will probably start by trying to shore up and tighten other costs that are variable that they actually have more control over and will experience less consequence from.
We're going to see votes, Amy Glassmeyer, in Congress this year. Democrats will be advocating an $11 federal minimum wage. Of course, that's a political imperative as they try to corner the market on income inequality. But away from politics, is there a marker? Is there a dollar amount? If you could set the federal minimum wage yourself with a wand right now, what would it be?
Having a wand would be really great, but I'm a realist. And what I would say is there's a lot of variability in the United States in terms of the cost of living. $11 as a minimum is probably close to what the largest states or the most populous states or the ones that have the most advanced economies, that's going to be a significant adjustment to those wages, but they're in tandem with what the cost of living is actually in those states. But for smaller states and states whose economies have been slower growing and perhaps less diverse, $11 will probably be a big shock.
The minimum wage is edging up in a dozen states across the country on January 1st and in some others as the year goes on. But in most of those places, if not all, the people making the minimum wage still on the edge. Amy Glassmeyer, professor of economic geography and regional planning at MIT and founder of the Living Wage Calculator. Thank you so much, professor.
You're welcome.
This is Joel from Pacheco, California. In order to live comfortably in the United States, you have to start out as early as possible, as debt-free as possible. If you don't have the financial support early on, you're going to be saddled with debt well into adulthood. And as a result, you'll sacrifice savings for retirement, putting off buying a home, or even relocating to improve your situation.
Well, as we heard a few moments ago, in most places around the country and for most people, getting by, much less getting ahead, is nearly impossible on the minimum wage. Shahrez Alam is 19 years old. She works in a McDonald's in Cambridge, Massachusetts. She's making $9.50 an hour, and as of Friday, New Year's Day, she's eligible for a raise. That's because Massachusetts is raising its minimum wage to $10 an hour. She's also involved with Fight for 15, an organization that's fought for over a year to raise the minimum wage around the country. Shahara, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So describe your expenses. Describe what going from $9.50 to $10 an hour will do for you. A big increase?
I definitely appreciate it because it'll definitely help me in a small way, even if it's just like whether or not I get to buy like more food at the end of the month. I don't think that making $10 an hour will impact my life as much as I need it to. Because $9.50 an hour is a struggle. It's a lot of the time it pushes me against a wall where I have to decide which bills I'm going to pay first. And it requires like a lot of prioritizing whether I'm going to pay the electricity or the rent first.
Now, the $9.50 you make now at your job at McDonald's, are you supporting just yourself?
I actually have partial custody of my younger brother and sister.
So what does that mean in terms of your expenses?
I have to pay for my apartment as well as three other cell phone lines, as well as food for not just myself, but for my younger brother and sister, for the rest of my family as well.
Okay, and your typical work week, are you working 40 hours or a lot more than that?
Actually, I am not, because my boss was cutting hours due to him hiring more people.
So at the end of the week, let's say even at $10 an hour with the increase you're getting, what are you taking home?
Maybe an extra like 10, $15.
How far does that really go at the end of the week or at the end of the month when you look at it?
It doesn't go far. It's an extra like 50 cents an hour to my check. And even though it gives me a little bit more, it's not the boost that I need. I need 15 to be able to support myself and my family.
So describe most of your coworkers there. People envision, I think, when you're working at McDonald's, it's usually a first job. You're 16. Mom and dad pay for most things. So making $9.50 or $10 is just fine because you don't have a whole lot of expenses. Is that the situation of most people you know?
No, I actually, a lot of my coworkers are in a similar boat. I know single mothers. I know like a lot of college students that are trying to like pay their way through school. I know a lot of like high school students that are just recently graduating, trying to afford going to school.
And can I ask what else you're doing, if anything, to get a better job? Is there any prospect for a higher paying job? Are you going to school?
I actually can't because I have to stay home to take care of my younger brother and sister.
So you have partial custody of them. You have to take care of them and work where you can.
Exactly. I'm taking what I can get.
Well, good luck to you, Shahara.
Thank you.
Shahara Zalim is a 19-year-old worker at McDonald's in Cambridge, Massachusetts. In addition to supporting herself, she also supports her young siblings. With the new year, her minimum wage salary increases by 50 cents.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.